Well, this evening we return to the book of Genesis as we continue in our series titled Jesus in Genesis. We are in Genesis chapter 27, and this evening we'll be reading verses 1 through 45. Genesis chapter 27, beginning in verse 1, this is the word of the one true and living God. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, 'Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goat she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day?" So far, the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. O Lord our God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word, which is able to make us wise unto salvation, which is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Father, remind us even now of your fatherly care and your eternal blessing upon us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Show us Christ. Grant us a greater zeal for him and his holiness. And equip us, O God, to be your saints here in Ballantyne, throughout Charlotte, and even to the ends of the earth. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Father Abraham had known the blessing of God, and Isaac, according to God's covenantal promises, had known the blessing of Almighty God. And now Isaac believes that he is approaching death. And in ancient Near Eastern fashion, he desires to bestow a blessing upon his oldest son, Esau, the son whom he favored, the son whom he loved. You may remember a few weeks ago when we were in Genesis chapter 25 that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of lentil stew. In the ancient Near East, a birthright was an honor given to the firstborn, which bestowed on him the head of household status and the right to inherit the father's estate. Now, through this ruse, which he conspired after the prompting of his mother and in connection with his mother, Jacob, who already had the birthright, sought to get the paternal blessing as well. Now, the paternal blessing was very important, for it was understood to shape the future of the one who was blessed. If you received the paternal blessing, that meant you would receive great prosperity in the future. So you can understand why both Esau and Jacob yearned for, they longed for, they pined for this paternal blessing. I want us to consider this theme of yearning for paternal blessing this evening. First, you notice that Esau sought to earn the paternal blessing. Esau, who you may remember, his name means hairy, H-A-I-R-Y, he sought to earn his father's blessing. Again, we read, beginning in verse 1, that Isaac, whose eyes were dimming so that he could not see, called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." Esau answered him. He said, in verse 3, "I want you to take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." So he gives his son Esau a task. He says, "If you will fulfill this task, I am going to bestow upon you the paternal blessing." If you turn back to Genesis 25 and verse 28 for just a minute, we're reminded there of something of the family dynamic, the father-son dynamic that was going on between Isaac and Esau. Notice what it says there, the first half of verse 28. "Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game." Literally, Isaac loved Esau because Esau put game in his mouth. It appears that Isaac had created a situation in which Esau thought he had to earn his father's love and his favor. Isaac did not love Esau, doesn't appear from Holy Writ, that because he was his father, Esau was his son, and therefore he loved him without strings attached. But rather, he loved him because of what Esau did for him, because of the skill that Esau possessed, because of the gifts that Esau rendered unto him. We must be careful as parents, mustn't we, that we don't exhibit that kind of love to our children. We mustn't ever allow our children to think that they have to earn our love or our favor. And fathers, let me especially encourage us tonight, since this is a picture here of Isaac, a father, let me encourage us tonight to go the extra mile to make sure that our children know that our love for them is not based on what they do or what they don't do. We must go the extra mile to communicate to our children that they cannot lose our love. Can they discourage us? Yes. Can they grieve us? Yes. Can they displease us? Yes. But they must know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that our love for them is neither earned nor lost. We must go the extra mile to make sure that they know that we love them through thick and thin, through ups and downs, through their failures and our failures. I believe this extends to all of us adults here at Ballantyne Presbyterian Church in the way that we demonstrate love toward the children of the church. We are to demonstrate something of God's unconditional love to them. We should take an interest in the children of the church. That goes a long way in communicating to them the Heavenly Father's love for them. I remember growing up, there was an elderly gentleman in the church, and he was a tennis player in Elkin. He was an attorney. Been an attorney for decades in Elkin, had a very successful law practice. He was an elder in our Presbyterian church there. And when I started playing tennis about 6 or 7, he found out about it, and he took an interest in my tennis matches. And he would, almost every Sunday morning, he would ask me, "How's your forehand?" And there wasn't much to that. I mean, he wasn't catechizing me or teaching me scripture, but he took an interest in me. And the Lord was impressing upon me at a very early age that the church cared for me, that the adults of the church took an interest in little old me. I remember one time after the morning service at our church, and it ended much like the order of worship in our church here. After the benediction, the congregation sang the doxology, and the minister would walk down the aisle toward the back. And one Sunday, I was standing on the next to the aisle, and as the minister walked by in his big black robe, minister, he was in his 60s at the time, he just put his hand on my head and patted my head, and he kept on walking. And the Lord used that to encourage me as a child that my minister cared about me. So you know what I started doing? Started sitting at the aisle every Sunday. And every Sunday he would pat my head. And some Sundays I would find myself doing this. Just kind of leaning out into the aisle to get this sort of paternal blessing. This little token of the love of God for me. Dear friends, we must show our children, children in our home, the children in our church, that kind of blessing. We must communicate to them that they don't earn that blessing, that they don't earn that paternal blessing. Esau sought to earn the paternal blessing. But secondly, we notice that Jacob schemed to receive the paternal blessing. Jacob lived up to his name, which means deceiver or cheat, supplanter, schemer. At his mother's instigation, Jacob entered into this ruse to trick Isaac and receive the blessing. Again, back in Genesis 25:28, this is a very helpful verse about the family dynamics going on here in Isaac's family. Genesis 25:28, Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Rebekah showed preferential treatment to Jacob. We got to be careful about that too, don't we? Showing preferential treatment to one child over another. Notice in verse 5 of Genesis 27, it says there that now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. Notice that. Isaac spoke to his son Esau. And then in verse 6, it says, Rebekah said to her son Jacob. You see, the writer of Genesis is even demonstrating that dynamic in those possessive pronouns. His son, Isaac, her son, his son, Jacob, her son, Jacob, his son, Esau. Jacob was concerned about Rebekah's ruse. He says, wait a minute. Maybe we shouldn't do this. But you notice his concern wasn't over the fact it was not ethical. His concern was over the fact that he might get caught. He said in beginning in verse 11, but Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. Now, the irony is that the phrase that Jacob uses to describe himself when he says, I am a smooth man, is actually a Hebrew phrase used to describe a slick or sneaky person. It's sort of like our phrase, a smooth talker. That's the language that Jacob ironically uses to describe himself. And Rebekah allays his fears by saying, well, you know, if anything goes wrong, I'll take the fall. Let your curse be upon me if there is a curse coming your way. And then Jacob deceived his father. He lied to Isaac in verse 19. He said, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. Repeats the same lie in verse 24. Notice in verse 20, he took the Lord's name in vain. He said, because the Lord your God granted me success. That's how I was able to capture this game and prepare it for you so quickly, because the Lord your God granted me success. You see, he's taking God's name in vain in this ruse to plot against his father for the blessing. C.S. Lewis said, of all bad men, religious bad men are the worst. Sin is especially heinous when it is cloaked in religious pretense. And that's exactly what Jacob does here. He uses religious language. He evokes the name of God to carry out an ungodly scheme. And Jacob received the blessing, the covenant blessing of God established in Abraham and Isaac. It was now irrevocably passed on to Jacob. Notice the material blessings bestowed in verse 28. This symbolized lavish material blessing and fruitfulness. And then the covenantal and universal blessings in verse 29. This was a clear demonstration that Jacob would be the chosen son through whom the Messiah would come and through whom all nations would be blessed. And of course, Esau returned and found out what happened. And we read in verse 34 that he cried out with an exceeding bitter cry. And he said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. What a picture of that pining for paternal blessing. And Isaac's oracle pronounced upon Esau is one in which he is told that he will indeed serve his brother. Esau's hatred for Jacob grew, and he planned to murder him. In some ways, it is reminiscent of Cain's hatred for Abel. It's another picture in Genesis of the depravity of man, the brothers at enmity with one another. One hating the other and seeking to kill him. Rebekah encouraged the son whom she loved to flee from Esau's presence. Esau sought to earn the paternal blessing. Jacob schemed to get the paternal blessing. And finally, this evening, we are reminded that in Esau and in Jacob, we see something of ourselves. We all, on some level, desire paternal blessing. We desire the approval, the acceptance, the favor, the love, the blessing of a father. And I believe that is ultimately because we are God's image bearers. We are those made for communion with God, the Heavenly Father. This is the paternal blessing which ultimately satisfies our souls. No earthly father, no matter how great of a dad he may be, no earthly father can ultimately satisfy our yearning for this paternal blessing. The good news for us in Jesus Christ is that we do not have to work for this paternal blessing. We do not have to scheme in order to get it. It is God's gift to us in Christ Jesus, His Son. Christ is God's Son. And as the incarnate Savior, He is the firstborn among many brethren. He is the one, the only one, who deserves the paternal blessing. But what did He do for us, His younger brothers and sisters who had turned away from the Father? He became a curse for us. He took to Himself our sins and was cursed in our stead that we might know the blessing which He alone, as the faithful firstborn Son, deserves. Paul tells us in Galatians 3:26, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. And Bo read those precious words from our Savior to His disciples in John 16 and verse 27. There He says, for the Father Himself loves you. Let that sink in, dear friend. The words of Jesus, the Son of God, to you this night, for the Father Himself loves you. And then over in John 17, Jesus is speaking not to His disciples, but to His Heavenly Father in His high priestly prayer, which He lifted up to the Father before He went to Calvary to make sacrifice for our sins. And what did our older brother pray there in John 17 and verse 23? He prayed, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Let that sink in. God the Father loves you, dear Christian, even as He loves His eternal Son, Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You see, you already have the paternal blessing. You don't need to try to earn it. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Be cheered by that, dear saint, at the close of this Lord's Day and throughout this week. Be cheered that the paternal blessing you long for is yours in Christ Jesus. It is not earned through your talents or your labors. It is not gained through scheming. It is received by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and it will never, ever be taken away. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your paternal blessing. It is undeserved. It is unmerited. We don't receive it according to our Jacob-like tendencies to scheme for advancement and for prosperity. You have bestowed upon us your paternal blessing in and through your eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If there are any here tonight who have never received that paternal blessing through faith, grant them that faith tonight to lay hold of Jesus, your eternal Son, that they might know that love with which you love him, that they might know the forgiveness of their sins, and that they might have eternal life through Christ. Lord God, we thank you for your fatherly love and fatherly care. Shed your love abroad in our hearts by your Spirit this week, that we might honor you as your children. Through Christ we pray. Amen.